Welcome to worship. It's not a very good weather outside, but it's nice and warm in here, and hopefully that we'll be warmed up by the Holy Spirit as we listen to our preaching and our singing, and so it's really good to see you. You'll be pleased to know that tea and coffee will be restored, and it's now available after worship this morning in the community hall. If the weather holds, there will be a short open air on the triangle at 12 o'clock. Now, a very informative newsletter has been produced, and includes lots of core information. If you haven't got one at the moment, you can get one on the way out. I can only touch on some of the things very briefly, but make sure you get your copy before you go. Today we'll be launching the self-denial appeal. And so I'll give you fair warning. The altar service for your personal giving will be on Sunday, the 6th of March. The majors will be on a short holiday this week from Tuesday to Friday inclusive. So if you need anything answers, then try me first, see if I can help you. The Zoom meeting, prayer meeting tonight, yes, at 5:30, and details of how to get onto the Zoom are in the newsletter for you. Please, if you're a member of the pastoral care or advisory team, read the newsletter for the dates of the forthcoming meetings. The funeral service of John Cates, will be in this hall on Thursday, the 3rd of March at 2 p.m., conducted by Jeff Goff Payne. Doug is now home, but he has a long, long road ahead before he will be fit and well to join us again. But Glenys would like to thank all the members of the Corps for their prayers and their support over the last few months. So thank you on behalf of Glenys. Hot off the press, on the 12th of March, our neighbours, Ipswich Citadel, have an evening with the Anglia Fellowship Band, and there's Martin Corner, is the conductor, and also Steve Green from the Royal Marines, and Bethany Grimshaw from Norris Citadel, the vocal soloist, and Major Martin Wheeler is the compere. I'm going to put the notice on the board, and so you get all your details there. Thank you very much for listening. Now we'll continue our worship.
Good morning. Thank you for that, John. Our opening song this morning is song 224. I know that my Redeemer lives. Oh, I think we can do a little bit better than that. I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, yes. What joy the blessed assurance gives. He lives, triumphant o'er the grave. He lives, omnipotent to save. And above the rest, this note shall swell. My Jesus has done all things well. Shall we stand and we'll sing the song straight through, please? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, remain standing. There, you were too quick. You were too quick. Okay, we're going to go into our next song, which says, Lord, your praises fill both earth and sky. We know that our Redeemer lives, and he wants to hear our praise this morning. So, Lord, your praises, song 381, if you're using the songbook. Lord, your praises fill both earth and sky, made in the likeness of God. We'll sing the first two verses, please. Thank you. Third verse, because it reminds us that you have given me a place to be.
Amen.
We are wanted by God. He wants to use us, and he has placed us here for such a time as this. You have given me a place to be, made in the likeness of God. Only angels are ahead of me, made in the likeness of God. Verses 3 and 4, please. Thank you.
Give me a place to be. Made in the likeness of God. Only angels are ahead of me. Made in the likeness of God.
Now you can be seated. Thank you very much. God is an awesome God. He created each and every one of us. And can I say that God does not create seconds. You are unique. And God has made you to be the person that you are, and he loves to hear our praises. Our Bible reading is taken from Psalm 90, and this is what it says. It's a prayer of Moses, who's classed as the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has been. Away in the morning. In the morning it springs up new by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. and we finish our years with the moon. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If I only knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Lord, you have been our dwelling place. He is here with us, dwelling amongst us, but also dwelling within us. May we know his love in these days.
We're looking over the next few weeks at our relationship with God the Father. And this morning we want to think about God as eternal, compared to us who are here but for a brief time. We cannot compare ourselves to God, but yet God loves us. The scripture says that God knows each and every one of us by name. He's placed his hand upon us to bless us. And as I was preparing for this morning, and my thoughts are based around Psalm 90, the old chorus, it's 837 in the Samishnami songbook, came flooding back. He's the same today as yesterday, my great unchanging friend. Let's sing the chorus twice through, please. Thank you.
He's the same today as yesterday.
I don't know the person sat next to you how long you've known them. How long have you been friends or family? We've just said that God is the same today as yesterday. Just look at the. You can look in front as well and behind. If you're on your own, I do apologize. Does your friend look the same as they did this time last year? What about 10 years ago? Let's go back 40 years. Do you still feel as fit and energetic as you did 50 years ago? We change. God remains the same. His desire is that we know him personally. And God remains constant. unchanging, in a landscape where things are continually changing and increasingly so, God can remain that compass point that says, this is the point. God is our source of direction. So we sing together another lovely song based upon Psalm 23. Yes, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. I rely on his goodness. I allow him to lead. He gives rest. He gives quietness. He restores me within. He strengthens me daily if my life honors him. Whatever you need personally this morning in prayer, make it known to God as we sing these words together. Let's sing the song straight through, please. Let's bow our heads, let's share prayer together, shall we? As has been mentioned, Doug is now home from hospital. We will uphold Doug and Glenys in our prayers. To remember Maureen and her family, ask you please to remember Carolyn Ward, whose brother is far from well, and Sheila Harrell too, in your prayers. To remember to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, who today will be a day mixed emotions. 70 years since she learnt that her father had been taken home to be with the Lord, and she was in succession to the throne of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Father God, as we enter your presence this morning, we want to thank you that you are eternal, that you never change. You are all known, everywhere present, and you are familiar with all our ways. And you invite us to enter your presence, yes, with joy and with praise and with thanksgiving. But you are attentive, Father God, to that which lies heavy upon our hearts. And as we worship together this morning, Father, we would pray that your Holy Spirit will come and visit each and every one of us. Anoint us, Father God, with your love and your grace afresh today. Take from us any heavy burdens, concerns that we might have, and give us a spirit that is light and cheerful and joyful and full of assurance that in all things you will work good to those who love you. We pray, Father God, for our brothers and sisters who are not with us, and recognize for the Father God those we've mentioned are by no means exhaustive. There are many more, Father God, whom we may be aware of, who are struggling at this time. And we would ask you, Lord, just to bless them in these moments, wherever they are. You deserve more than we can give, but we give you all that we can with grateful hearts, sharing together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We're now going to listen as the songsters kindly contribute to our worship as they sing Bow the Knee.
Thank you.
So thank you, songs leaders, songsters, for your ministry this morning. Bow the knee. There are lots of things that we can be uncertain about, but we're invited simply to trust the Father in heaven. Know that he knows what he's doing and working things out for our good. Just before our young people go to Sunday school, just want to share something with you. Just bear with us as we... I'm mindful that Paul, when he wrote to his friends at Ephesus and chapter 6, he said, finally, friends, you need to put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the evil one. And then you have a whole list of pieces of armour that Paul says the Christian ought to put on. Now, he's under house arrest at this time, and he has a Roman soldier there keeping guard with him. I wonder what that sort of conversation went like, whether they got to know each other or whether the guard had to remain silent and ignore Paul. But Paul's looking at this Roman soldier and he's spiritualizing everything about the soldier for the Christian, because Christians would be aware of the Roman Empire in which they lived. And Paul's saying, when you consider the Roman soldier and how effective he is, he depends upon every part of his armor to do something in order to protect him when he's under attack. A little experiment. I'll stop this one. Okay. Right. Brought a little air. Now, what is this? What was this?
Thank you very much.
What is it? It's an orange. Right. Gee, I prefer chocolate oranges. Ah, right. Chocolate's not orange. Ah, right. Right. Orange is a fruit. Right. Now, are you listening to the sermon? Yeah? Chocolate's not good for you, but fruit is. Now, I want you to tell me, do you think if I put this orange in the water, it will float or sink? Sink. Do you want to come and put it in and let's find out? Thank you. Oh. Who'd have thought that? It's floating. It didn't sink. Let's take it out. Let's put that there. I've got another orange. Right. Do you want to come? Do you think this will float or sink, Ava? It'll sink. Oh. Straight down to the bottom. Now here, I've got a question for you. When you go to school tomorrow, ask the teacher why the orange with the skin on it, the peel on it, floats, and why does an orange that is peeled, which should be lighter, sink? You're right. Matthew, you are a clever boy. Yeah, the water, because it hasn't got the peel, the water goes into the orange and it sinks. I want to suggest to you that this morning, the peel could be like the armour for the orange. And as long as the peel is on the orange, it's always going to float. But if we take the armour off, we run the risk of sinking. Well, we're going to sing a song together. I want all the children to come forward. And then we're going to share a prayer, and you're going to go into your special room and have a good time. You can come back and tell us. Right. Lovely. Please raise your right hand if you're going to pray for these young people. Yeah? All these people are praying for you.
Just to say that over the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at how Jesus has healing power, and we've looked at some of his miracles. Yes. Well, today we're going to start 4 weeks at looking at the life of Elijah and how God used him. So if you want to ask questions of the children, please look up in your Bibles, 1 Kings 17, 18, 19 and 20. That's the four, what they're going to study over, look at over these next 4 weeks. And today we're going to be finding out that God supplies all our needs. So shall we just share a prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love. We thank you that we are made in your likeness. And we just pray, Lord, that as these young people go out to learn more about you, looking at an Old Testament prophet, but Lord, we can learn so much through people that have lived a long time ago, but they can still affect our lives today. So I pray for each of our youngsters here today. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing the first two verses of our next song, 982. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Let's stand and sing as our young people go off to their class this morning. Thank you. Last verse says, stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. The last verse, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for a good sing together. I'm going to invite you, please, to take your seats. And as we do so, we're going to listen to the first clip of this year's Self-Denial Annual Appeal. They've not been able to go far this year because of COVID. And over the next month, we're going to be seeing glimpses of the work of the Salvation Army that we are supporting through our self-denial altar service giving. So let's listen to the first clip entitled Care for Creation, followed by the band contribution to our meeting this morning. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to the first of our films for this year's Self-Denial Appeal. For this year's Self-Denial Appeal, we're looking at how the Salvation Army around the world is caring for creation and responding to climate change. More of that in a minute. But first, let's look at last year's appeal. If you saw the films last year, you'll remember that Captain Ben Cottrell interviewed people working in Mali and Burkina Faso, Pakistan, Bangladesh and the Philippines. Despite all the difficulties we all faced during 2021, you gave so generously once again. Thank you so much. Your self-denial money is already being put to good use. If you're new to the Salvation Army, you may be wondering what the self-denial appeal is about. The idea is you go without something for a week or even a month, that's the self-denial bit, and the money you save or the money you decide to give supports the Salvation Army's work around the world. And it's not just something we do here in the UK. Nearly every Salvation Army Corps in the world gets involved. So wherever you are joining with Salvationists who are doing the same thing. The money is redistributed by international headquarters to the places that need it most. Some of the self-denial money you raised goes to our mission partners, but quite a lot goes to other mission support work all over the globe. It funds the essential background things so that Salvation Army staff and volunteers can get on and do what they're good at. Today I've escaped the city to the beautiful Essex coast. I'm at Hadley Farm, bought by the Salvation Army over 130 years ago as the main site for a pioneering social programme, and it's a good place to think about caring for creation. These days they run a whole range of fantastic projects here, including a training centre for adults with additional support needs, a rare breed centre and tea rooms, as well as a working farm. Well worth a visit if you get the chance. In William Booth's day, people from the city slums had the chance to find new skills and employment away from the desperate poverty of the East End. The work here also represented a commitment to sustaining the earth and stewardship of the environment. William Booth once said, "God didn't put Adam and Eve into a factory, he put them into a garden." At the time Hadley Farm was being developed, the Salvation Army was also setting up waste paper depots across the country to recycle paper, providing employment for people who'd been homeless and destitute, and raising charitable funds for the Salvation Army's social work. So, while caring for our environment is nothing new, fast forward 130 years and we're all much more aware of the need to look after our planet. In fact, caring for creation is one of the mission priorities of the Salvation Army in the UK and Ireland. That means considering the environmental impact of all our work and helping change attitudes so we all use our planet more responsibly. The effects of climate change are being felt worldwide. In our support for the Salvation Army around the world, we are helping people increase resilience to these effects and overcome food insecurity. We're also providing immediate support and relief to people affected by extreme weather events like storms and floods. Last year's films showed us that around the world, the coronavirus pandemic was an added challenge, alongside hurricanes, tornadoes, blizzards and droughts. And the people who are hardest hit are those who are already facing poverty. So for the next 4 weeks, I'll be talking to people from around the Salvation Army world, asking them about what's happening where they are. I'll be talking to them about caring for creation and the impact of climate change. I'll be talking to Victor Mondal in Bangladesh. He's worked for the Salvation Army for over 40 years. I'll be talking to Colonel Yusak Tampi, the territorial commander in Indonesia, a country which has had its fair share of natural disasters. I'll be talking to Major Lorraine Medina in Costa Rica. Costa Rica is a division of the Latin America North Territory. But next week, I'll be talking to George Obondo in Kenya. He's a project manager working on water, sanitation and hygiene, as well as food security projects across the country. I look forward to seeing you then.
Shall we say thank you to the band? Katrina read to us from Psalm 90. It's a prayer of Moses. It's believed by the Jews to be the oldest psalm. And the context of this psalm is during a time when Moses is leading the people through the wilderness. He'd led 2 million people out of slavery in Egypt. A 10-day journey ended up taking 40 years because the people needed to be moulded and made into a nation. Because of their sin, they weren't allowed to enter the promised land. Even for Moses, there was an occasion where he, in his anger, struck the rock in order to give the people of God water. And God punished him for that. And said to him, you can look at the promised land, but you cannot enter it. Oh, that none of us failed to enter the promised land. You see, this psalm is all about how God is eternal. And now Jesus tells us we can call God Father, but friends, he's not human like you or me, and we cannot, with all honesty, approach God as though he's just one of the lads. When we come to God, we need to give reverent thought to how we approach him. Here are the people of God on their journey through the wilderness, carrying the gold of Egypt with them, and not one of those people, well, except two, will enter the promised land. And I'm talking about Joshua and another spy who said to Moses it was right to enter the promised land when God said. This is what Moses says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Moses is recognizing that before creation and what we see around us, there was God. He was created by no one. He was before time and will be here after time. And just, we here, we're the people who live in time. For those of us who are a little older than 20, let me ask you to go back to when you were 20. Life stretched out ahead of us, and we saw potential. We were going to change the world. We were invincible. And then maybe we got married. We had a family, a career. I'm not going to ask you how old you are now. But this word tells us, Moses says, that our years are around about 70 years. 80 if we're strong. So some of us are living on borrowed time. The future does not stretch out ahead of us as we would have liked to have thought it did when we were 20. So what is Moses trying to say to us? He's trying to help us understand how we fit into God's plan. While our lifespan is short and God is eternal, we need to be asking God in verse 12 to teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The world around us tells us that we need to achieve so much, that if we do this, or we have this, we'll be happy and contented. And the truth is nothing that the world offers brings true happiness or contentment. What Moses is trying to say to us, it's knowing God. And this guy, Moses, born into slavery, adopted as a prince of Egypt for the first 40 years of his life. And then because of his anger, he killed someone and had to run. And he spent the next 40 years tending his father Jethro's sheep before God called him to be the shepherd of his people Israel and to lead them from slavery to a promised land. Moses didn't always have it easy. The people of Israel didn't always have it easy. And you and I need to be mindful as Christians today that while we live in a world that faces many challenges in these days, we should not expect life to be easy. I wonder what has gone wrong and why God is not providing for us the way we expect him to provide. We need to be asking for ourselves, what are the important things in life? Is it material possessions? Even our family relationships? Is it having a good reputation? Influence? Authority? Respect? Is that what life's made up of? This book that we read from is a book that tells us about the desires of God eternal to have a relationship with you. He gives you time, a listening ear. His desire is to be there to provide and to support and to encourage us on the journey. You see, our perspective needs to be, what is life all about? Is it about the here and now? Or is it, who is God? What does he mean to me? How well do I know him? Love him, serve him. You see, this whole psalm speaks about our days being brief, and we're reminded that Moses says 1,000 years in your sight is like a day that is just gone by. Now, the oldest man in Scripture only lived for 969 years. Didn't quite make the 1,000 years. A day in God's sight. You see, that's how brief our life is. But yet, in the whole expanse of things, what God has created, who God is, his power and authority and abilities, we're told from the very beginning that God wants to have a relationship with Adam and Eve in the garden. In the cool of the evening, he would come and walk and talk with them. And when he sent Jesus, Jesus selected 12 men to be his disciples. Not the brightest in the bunch. They weren't the top of the class. Many of them had probably gone to the synagogue and been taught the basis, but didn't quite make the grade to go on to be trained at the next level to become a rabbi. So they had to go home and become fishermen. Whatever their father's trade was. These are the people God chose to walk with and to talk with and to teach and to share, to give them authority to heal, to release people from that which binds them and makes them slaves to whatever. God eternal could do it all. But yet, he wants to use you and me. Even though our days are short and we need to number them, meaning we need to prioritize what is important in each day of our lives. Is it amassing wealth and influence, respect? Or is it serving God just where he's placed you? Being available to help, to care. You see, verse 14 says to us, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. God wants you and I to experience his unfailing love, no matter what challenges face us. As I say, this psalm is written as Moses is leading the people through the desert, through the wilderness, to their promised land. And he's praying, asking God to fulfill his promise, and saying to God, please, Father God, fulfill your promise for the human race. Bless all of humanity through your people. Do not dismiss us from your presence. Transform our hearts. Make a difference in the world. And in verse 17, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Oh, don't you want that? God to rest upon you with his love and his grace and his blessing, to establish your works so that you do the works that he would desire you to do. Moses witnessed many years, as I say, 120 in all. You and I need to look back, need to look around us now, and need to look forward. And we need to seek God and ask God to meet our needs and to equip us so that we can be instruments of his grace in the world in which we live today, in this 21st century, with all its challenges and difficulties. God wants to use your life, your living, to be a source of transformation, not just for you, but for your family, for this town, for this nation. We're reminded by the writer of Ecclesiastes that there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear down and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love ice and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. This morning, let's give a little time just to sit in the presence of God, to listen to his voice and allow him to minister into your life and your situation. There's a lovely song going to be played for us. Just invite you just to reflect as you listen. Think about how you and I can ask God to teach us to number our days, that we might gain a heart of wisdom from the eternal God. Amen.
You have been our dwelling place, O everlasting God. Before you formed the mountain tops, you were before it all. And soon your love.
Let's share a prayer, shall we? Father God, teach us to number our days. Satisfy us, I pray, with your eternal love through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. We thank you, Father God, that you are outside time. You see the beginning and the end. And you are working all things for good to those who love you. In those moments, Father God, where we feel as though we're in the dark and uncertain as to what is going to happen next, give us the confidence to know that you hold the future and that you, Father God, will lead us safely through this life to our eternal home through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Amen. We conclude this morning by singing together from the Salvation Army Songbook. A lovely song, 466. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Let's stand together and we'll sing together the first two verses to begin with. Thank you. Do you now know why I don't sing with the songsters?
Am I on? Yay. Okay, we've had a great time out in Sunday school today. Okay, so Matthew, what was the name of the man?
Elijah.
Doesn't need the mic. It was Elijah, okay? And he went to see... What was the name of the king? Can anybody remember the name of the king?
Ahab.
Ahab, that's right. And the king was telling people not to worship God anymore, wasn't he? And that made Elijah sad. And so Elijah was very brave. What did he go and do? He told the king off. Yes, he went to the king and told him off. And Elijah then said that God was going to send a drought on the land for 3 years, and so Elijah had to go away. So who helped Elijah? Who brought him food?
The ravens brought him food.
That's right, and that's what we've done. We've made our ravens, and we've been picking up things on the table there. So we're really, really pleased that God will supply all our needs. Thank you very much.
This song that we were singing, verse 3 says, He took my sins and sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore my burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Let's stand together and we sing together the fourth verse. When with the ransomed in glory, His face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. The last verse and the chorus twice, please. Thank you. Closing this morning, and to God's gracious mercy and protection, we commit ourselves. The Lord bless and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord lift up His light and countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forevermore. Amen. Good morning and God bless.